Hey,
What's up? I love how you're always like dressed up. Yeah, I mean, you look better than me.
we coordinated. I feel like we're in our neutral fall winter colors.
Oh, how's the weather in Texas?
It's freezing. It's freezing still. I think people are messing with us, screwing up the weather all around the world.
Yeah, it's been raining here in LA.
Oh, really? It's always so like sad when it rains in LA, I feel like.
Why?
I don't know. I always felt like melancholy when I lived in LA and it rained.
Isn't it sad in general, though, in LA?
It's a good point. That's a really good point. I mean, I think it's a extreme, it's either really sad or really happy in LA. I don't know that there's a middle ground. Feels very extreme over there.
Somebody once told me, he goes, there's this weird dichotomy of LA because it's always sunny, but yet it's endless rejection and just despondency of going through the motions. So it's like you're supposed to be happy, but you're constantly like getting hit and hit and hit.
Well, you don't feel like you've ever reached like your final destination there. It's a constant rat race. And I think if you're in the industry, nobody talks about mental health for actors and models. And the fact that actors and models face rejection multiple times a day after they've given their 100%, their best shot, everything they have, and it's no, and they're not getting any mental help or any support for all that rejection. What are they supposed to do? I feel like so many actors and models are so sad and suffering from mental illness right now, and it's like people are like, oh, just be happy. You're in this industry. You get to do something that nobody does. I get that. But rejection every single day, it affects you.
Yeah, I just went to the improv like last week or 2 weeks ago, and I met this lady named Zoe Friedman, who so Bud Friedman owned the improv, and his daughter, he died, and his daughter, I guess, owns it now or whatever. But she has this whole thing, it's like called Comedy Gives Back or something, and it's basically therapy for comedians because all these comedians are killing themselves. And I was like, I've never even heard of this. So I was like,
Oh,
oh.
that's really neat. Where is that? What do you know more about it? You just talked to her briefly, or that's
No,
really
I mean, I was like, well, I guess it's like also a fund too if you need money. Like if you don't, 'cause a lot of these guys, comics are in and out. So I don't really look too much into it, but it seemed like a nice gesture. And they had like some benefits shown. These huge comedians were on, like Sebastian and David Spade, all that stuff.
nice.
Yeah, I just met her briefly and we talked about that. She's like, you look like you need mental health. I was like, oh.
Isn't that obvious?
No, I just saw her. I just started talking to her randomly.
Oh, that's cool.
My dad started this. Da, 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 whatever. I wanted to ask you if you saw the Emmys too.
No, nobody did.
You didn't.
I catch the highlights at this point. I can't sit through those shows. It's too much.
Did you ever go to the Emmys?
No, only the after parties.
Oh, you went to the after party? Wow. Tell us about that. Tell me about that.
I'll tell you later about that.
Oh, really?
No, some of the red carpet parties, I did get invited to many of them, and they were really, I mean, crazy sometimes as far as like just being so elaborate. The food. I went to one where I think I went to one at Seth MacFarlane's house once, and it was like white tigers as you walk in, just like hanging out, because why not have white tigers greeting people?
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you have to know celebrities to get into the party?
I think I was just invited by being in the industry. I don't recall. I feel like my agents or my managers were like, oh, you got to go here now. Kind of one of those things.
I don't get invited to these parties. I just crash parties. Pretty
Do you
much.
get in when you crash parties?
Well, I go to I don't really go to A level. I guess there was a time of I went to, you know who Paul Rodriguez is, the comedian?
Yes.
I went to his birthday party last week and I just crashed it. I just showed up with a friend, right? And I was telling a friend of mine, I felt like, you know that scene in Three Amigos? But Paul Rodriguez is like this famous comedian from the 80s. But the scene in Three Amigos when Chevy Chase infiltrates El Guapo's like secret base. I don't know if you remember the scene. And Chevy Chase is dressed up like this Mexican guy, and El Guapo's trying to figure out, he's going through his line of like thieves. He's like, hey, and you, we did this together. And you, we did this together. And he sees Chevy Chase and he's like, and you. And Chevy's like, yeah, remember we pillaged the village. He's like, yeah, I pillaged the village. And like, we drank the liquor. He's like, yeah, I drank the liquor. And he goes, we raped the cows. He's like, we ra who the fuck are you? Get the, you know, I feel like that could like, Paul's like looking at, he's like, and you, happy birthday, thanks for coming. And you, and he's like, and you. And I was like, yeah, we did the improv. Remember 87? He's like, yeah. He's like, who the fuck is this guy, you know, at his party? But
So you didn't get kicked out, you got to stay.
no, he was pretty cool. He's a nice guy. And you know, it wasn't like a super celebrity thing, but he's a pretty decent, he's super funny. And he's also like, he's like 69. He's on the older side too. So it wasn't like white tigers walking
White
around.
fingers, yeah. I mean, those were years ago. I'm not trying to act like I'm still 25 trying to get into the parties. I mean, let's face it, I think a lot of those parties invited young models and actresses back then that were quote unquote hot or good looking, right? They just wanted that ambiance around at these events and parties.
You're still good looking. What are you talking about? You could easily still go to these parties.
Thanks, Darren. But I'm not a spring chicken anymore. I'm not trying to be one. I'm kind of digging the whole Pamela Anderson, just like grow old and own it. Like, stop trying with all the plastic surgery and the makeup and the like, stop. Just be the age that you are. It's okay. We accept it now. You know, 15 years ago, I think that Hollywood, marketing, TV, all of that was still about like being pretty and being aspirational, and people were beautiful if they were on TV or in ads. But over the last 15 years, there's been a gradual change towards it's not believable if you're too pretty. No one's gonna buy that scene. If a beautiful woman is in it, everyone falls out of the storyline unless it really specifically calls for it. If you watch television commercials or you walk into a mall and you look at ads, the majority of the people are relatable to unique and quirky. Not necessarily what used to be considered pretty 15 years ago, that is kind of outdated. So that's been interesting to see. That was a tangent I went on. Sorry.
No, I actually feel like it's the opposite in comedy because before, I like really know it's comedy, but before you had to kind of have a certain quirky look, but now there are guys like Matt Rife. I don't know if you know who
You
that is.
are right. I think in comedy, it's gone the opposite.
And the opposite. Now you can be like really good looking and do comedy, and people are like, "Oh, this is interesting. It's weird. It's like it's weird dynamic. It's like shifted, like."
It absolutely has. It absolutely has. Yeah, because I wanted to do comedy when I first started, and everyone was like, well, you just don't look funny enough. Because, you know, what is your cat there? Huh?
Hold on. No, you know what I got? I'll show it to
Let's see. Oh, are we doing a live unboxing? I love those.
no.
We got to hear the ASMR. We need to hear like the sound of everything.
Like these are like Nespresso pods.
Oh.
And so I have like an espresso machine. So I basically make my own espresso.
That's nice. Is it like those pods that go in a Keurig, but for an espresso? You know, the guy who invented that technology or whatever, like he sold it for n like nothing to Keurig, like an idiot. And then now he's come out saying, Oh, I regret it because it's causing so much plastic waste on the planet. I think random coffee pod stuff. I didn't think about it.
Do you have any addictions that you are
Addiction?
fighting, or vices? Because I feel like mine is coffee.
Wow,
So
I think
many.
mine is, huh?
So many.
Yeah, I have so many. I do. I like to have like my morning structure the same. So I have to have either tea or coffee in the morning. And then I need to work out.
You work out today?
I will work out when we're done. Yeah.
In that sweater.
Yes, of course. Doesn't everybody work out in sweaters like this? I go to Pilates. I can work out in anything.
Do you feel like as you get older, you can't do what you used to do when you were working out? Because I've cut my workout schedule tremendously.
Yeah, like, what do you mean?
Like I used to be able to run like every day, and I can't do that anymore. Like I feel like things start to hurt. And so I was like, I'm pushing my body too much. My body's telling me to cut back a bit. Do you feel like
Yeah,
that?
absolutely. I used to do HIIT workouts and spin cycling classes, and that kind of workout doesn't work for my body anymore. I have to do yoga, Pilates, and I walk. I get my steps in. And when I do at least 10 to 15,000 steps a day, it consistently, like every day, then I'm in the best shape of my life. But it's been so cold that I haven't been walking. So, and I feel it, like I feel it in my body that I'm not getting my steps in.
Like how cold does it get outside in Texas?
Well, earlier it was 20. Let's see what it is
You
right now.
serious? 20
Yeah.
degrees in Texas?
Yeah, it's 41 right now. So I'm not going to go walking. And it's going to rain the rest of the week.
Yeah, I think this is like the aftermath of the storms, like the winter stuff. I think there's like a cold front moving. By the way, you'd be a good weather girl. You probably did you ever like think about that? Like going into the weather when you're running?
Meteorology?
Yeah.
No. Never. Why?
I feel like you would have been a good weather girl. Like just seeing you in front of that screen behind you, I could see you. It's like
Rain today and all week we're going to have rain in southern Texas. Go inside and get your umbrellas. I have my electric blanket. Have you used one of these?
no, I find them too dangerous.
What do you mean, like, with water?
Water. Like, what if I drink, spill my water on it, and electrocute myself?
Oh, I never even thought about that. You think I could electrocute myself if I spilt water on my blanket?
Easily, easily. No, probably not.
Hazard. Okay. No, they really work. Like, really work.
Before we get off on the topic of you going to celebrity parties and seeing tigers, do you ever go to the Playboy Mansion?
Did I ever go to the Playboy Mansion?
Tell me what that's like. Come on, Chaz. I know you
Okay,
barely.
wait, hold on. I'm gonna get something for you.
Playboy issue number 605, The Woman of
Well,
Wall Street.
I can't believe I have this, but I recently was gonna get rid of all of this. Okay, so back in the early 2000s and the late 90s, if you were a model, you were invited to Playboy Mansion parties.
We did not plan this. That is asking a question. We do this with these like
Playboy Mansion.
these photos of you at the Playboy Mansion.
Shazia, you are invited to Hef's New Year's Eve party. When was this? It doesn't say the
Wow.
year. Oh, 2001. 2001? Look how creepy this one is.
That's the card.
That was the invitation.
Wow.
Come and join the fun at Hef's Midsummer Night's Dream. Ooh, look, 2000. So yeah, there's
So
a lot.
how do you get invited? Is it through your agency? Did you know Hugh Hefner?
Oh, this one's cool. Yeah, it was. Ooh, here's the map. Oh, we always had to park at UCLA and get shuttled in. It's always weird. Another 2000. Yeah, it started off with my agency, and then once you're on the list, you're on the list, so you get invited to all these crazy events. But I never did Playboy, and they never offered it to me. They never said, "Hey, do you want to try testing?" Because I had friends who tested, like they would do a shoot to test to be in Playboy or be a playmate, but that was never, you know, my trajectory was not without clothes on.
Is it really hard to get into Playboy?
The party or in the
You know,
magazine?
in the magazine.
I think there's a whole process. Like they really kind of vet you pretty hard. I had friends, well, acquaintances. I had acquaintances who would, they would have to come down, go to a party. They'd be invited to like a smaller event, like a dinner and a movie. And then they would do a test shoot where they would kind of see how they looked on camera. And then from then they would be offered, and there was different deals, like either just like a centerfold spread in the magazine, like an editorial, or some of them were offered, okay, now you come and live, or you get a contract where you have to be at events dressed like a bunny. I don't know. It was
Now
the
look.
whole, I was close to, but I wasn't in. I
Sure.
was just there.
Well, I think back then it was a different market, first of all. I think Playboy had a way more cachet than it did now, especially with Hugh Hefner being gone. But also back then, I mean, it could really launch. I mean, Pamela Anderson, you mentioned her. Didn't she start as a Playboy model and then she got Home Improvement?
She
Did
did. She started, well, actually, she was found at a sporting event where they kind of panned the camera onto her. And
I remember
then
that.
some product line was like, who was the girl in the blue? And so they used her in like this swimsuit ad, and then Playboy saw her there. So people were getting discovered back then in a different way. But you know, Pamela couldn't break out of that ever. I mean, that's all we ever knew her as. And we're still talking about her, and you know that she got started doing that. So I think it was really hard for those girls to break out of that market.
But she became a huge TV star. I mean, within limited acting ability, she was, you know, Baywatch, the lead actress of Baywatch. She did so many things. I mean,
My first guest star was on her TV show VIP. That's the first guest star I ever booked. And she was incredibly kind and so welcoming on her set. She had me come to her trailer. She asked me if I, you know, how I like my hair and makeup. She had her makeup artist redo my makeup, make sure everything looked really good. I actually did that with Sarah, is it Silverman? Yeah, I have a scene with her, and we were on VIP. Pamela is actually a pretty good actress, but again, because everyone knows her as this bombshell Playboy girl, nobody would take her serious.
you must have had some pretty major guest star for her to say, "Hey, you come in. How do you want your makeup done?" Was there not a makeup person to? I
I
mean,
had
this
a
I've
makeup
heard.
person, but she wanted her personal makeup artist to make sure I looked really good on her TV show. It reflects her. It was really neat.
What was your part on the show?
I played a model who Sarah Silverman is convinced is a hit woman, and so they're kind of staking me out, and then the cops run up on me ready to arrest me, and I'm like, dude, I'm just a model.
A lesbian model.
Why? I mean,
Remember, I'm only saying that because you said that. I'm only saying it because you said you told me on the phone that you keep going out for lesbian roles.
I think it's since I cut my hair, it's like my agent will send me something and they're like, same sex couple. I'm like, why? What is that, the vibe I'm giving off right now? I don't know. Maybe I am.
There's this great book. Not to change topics here, but there's this, you know who Fred Stoller is? He's this comedian who's been in a bunch of stuff, and he wrote this book about being on guest stars in all these TV shows. And he basically just wrote about all these experiences doing guest stars, going show to show to show to show, because he was in all these shows in the 90s. And I don't know if you've done a, I'm sure you've done a number of guest stars, but it's almost like you're part of their machine, and you go to the next one, and there's like a certain like friends or whatever, like, and everyone treats you differently. Like, some are great experiences. Should plug this book. It's called, I think, Maybe We'll Have You Back by Fred Stoller. It's really, and I really love those inside the look books that really hold nothing back. It's
Me
pretty
too.
cool.
Yeah, that sounds right up my alley.
You can write a book about modeling and going to the Playboy parties. I'd buy it.
If you were a model in the late 90s and the early 2000s, you were invited to the Playboy Mansion parties. It wasn't something unique to me. It was unique to anyone in the industry, I guess.
I was never invited. I was a commercial lifestyle model.
You were a man. You still are. Well, I don't know. Are you?
Don't
It's
know.
2023. You
I know.
tell me.
Am I?
I don't want to assume, right?
I know. My pronouns are he, him, bunny.
Ooh, okay.
So, like Playboy.
Midlife crisis, Thurum. He, him, bunny. Are you having a midlife crisis?
Yes.
Have you had a midlife crisis yet?
Oh, definitely. Are you kidding me?
What did that look like for you?
Tears. I almost bought a motorbike at one point.
You have a weird thing for motorbikes, don't you? I feel like on the COC, you were always like trying to ride a motorbike.
I know. I was like, really, I was like, I want to buy a motorbike. Then I realized I was going to kill myself. So I
Super
decided.
duper. LA and motorcycles, they're not a good match.
No, they're not. Especially now, like I've got this thing where like I don't want to be dependent on anybody. So like I feel like if I seriously injure myself, I don't want to be in the hospital of like self-reliant because I know like nobody's gonna come help me. I'll be by myself. That's like my worst fear.
No.
Who's gonna
You
help me, Sazia?
have so many friends. You have so many
No,
fans.
I
You have
know, but I'm
random
saying,
fans.
but my friends, fans, not the misery. Here's your waffle. No, you know what I'm saying? At least, like, look, people say don't rely on your kids to take care of you when you get older, but I do think you have to figure out, like, as you get older, like, you become, less functional. That's just what's going to happen as we get into our 70s and 80s. I know that's far away, but. But I've seen it. I know you've seen it.
Yeah, it's a crazy time, and yeah, I don't, I'm not even gonna think about it right now.
Well, you have Stuart, you have your kids. You don't have to worry about that. You got your cat, Sheba, whatever her name is.
Yeah, my cat would totally come take care of me. Sheba, chicken. My
Your cat?
cat's chicken.
I should have posted your link though for your My Cat's My Worst Nightmare. What was that show?
A cat from hell.
I found the link and I sent it to Shazia. I said I found the show. You can actually find it. Sorry to plug it, Shazia, but you did fantastic on it, both you and Stuart, and the cat was from hell.
The cat was really misbehaved. I hope he's living a better life now. I mean, I really found the right home for him. And I have two wonderful cats that match my family. I think that show fails to show that, sometimes it's just not a match. It's like dating. You're not going to just settle with everybody you date. Not a match.
I think the dating though is a lot different if you're a guy and girl. And since you're here, we can ask you because as a pretty girl, and I talk to my friends all the time, I feel like if you're a pretty girl, it's just way different. Guys are just taking I just saw some post, some girl posted. She goes, I haven't bought groceries in 2 years because I go on 6 dates a week to get free meals. And I was like, oh my God. Like literally girls can do this. They can go on dates, guys will feed you, and you can go home. Like, I'm never gonna see this guy again. And guys are like, what happened?
I think it takes a specific type of girl to do that. I remember I had this job out of high school at a hair salon. I was a receptionist. And one of the hair, I was really struggling because I was living on my own. I had my own apartment. Like my senior year in high school, I got my own place. and I had to pay all my bills, and I was just suddenly on my own, and I'm 18. And so sometimes the hairdressers would help me, they bring me groceries, and one of the hairdressers said, "When I was your age, I didn't pay for my food. I would just go on 6 dates every, 6 dates and go out to dinner. And then I would figure out how to get someone to buy me groceries during the week." She's like, "You shouldn't be paying for food. You're young and you're pretty. Just have guys do it for you." And I just was like, "That's not me. I don't know how to do that." So I was never able to quite accomplish the getting the free stuff. Somehow I always had boyfriends that I was paying stuff for back then. I don't know how that happened.
Maybe it's your fetish for homeless guys.
I do, yeah. I think you're right.
No, but seriously, you don't ever feel like it's kind of unfair for like, and look, I totally understand how guys are insane. In fact, there are so many like comedians who talk about this, how it's an insane thing. Hey, I'm gonna go out with this crazy guy who he could be insane, who's like a could be some big strong dude who could be like a rapist. Who knows what's goes on? You put your full faith in this dude, but at the same time, as a guy, it's like, and there's so many pretty girls here in LA. It's like you're on this rotation of just.
Everywhere. LA is pretty girls. If you're a pretty girl anywhere in the United States, you move to LA to try and make it in the business. However, I'm gonna say pretty isn't necessarily in right now in the marketing world. What is your definition of pretty? The definition of pretty has changed, which I think is a good thing, honestly.
Well, I just sent a clip of Stephen A. Smith, and he was talking about like dating. I don't know why I'm listening to Stephen A. Stephen A. Smith is about the sports analyst on
Okay.
ESPN, and he's like, go with a strong seven. He's like the nine will always leave you. The eight, just think she's the nine, whatever. And he goes, the strong seven's where it's at. And honestly, I kind of agreed with it because every time.
But is there a universal strong seven? I mean, what you're imagining in your mind and what I'm imagining in my mind at a seven might be two different things. Well, they
What's a seven?
definitely.
What's a seven in your mind?
I mean, a seven in my mind.
Numerically rate yourself, Shazi. Where do you see yourself?
Where do I see myself?
On the scale.
Well, I think there's much more to consider that ends up showing on the outside. You're asking a mom to talk about beauty. This is very challenging where
I'm asking you to give yourself a number 1 to 10.
I can't give myself a number 1 to 10.
10. Charlie, just say it, 10.
I think there was a time I was definitely a 10. However, I didn't know I was a 10. Looking back, I'm like, wow, I was a 10.
How do you not? You're getting invites for the Playboy Mansion. I mean,
Everybody who was a model actor was getting
I
invited
never got an invite to the Playboy
because
Mansion.
you had a male body part.
I, not back then.
Okay, I don't know then because you weren't a 7 or above, I guess. What do you mean not back then?
No, if you're asking me, girls have so many options that they can just go from guy to guy, and it kind of messes up. It messes up guys because, there's a whole like incel movement of dudes who are just angry because they've gone through life like rejected by girls and stuff. So, but at the same time, I always tell, this is more for like dudes, but I always tell my friends coming up, I was like, you got to really focus on yourself, really just make the best version of yourself, and then the right girl will come along. But don't chase girls. That's just, it's a philosophy.
I think it goes both ways. There's a lot of girls who get used by guys throughout their lives. So as much as men are looking for hot girls are looking for rich dudes. Like, it's just the way that it's working and worked out. So I think there's just two sides to the coin. A lot of girls have been done wrong by a bunch of guys who are looking to constantly upgrade, especially in LA. It always feels like when you're a woman dating in LA that the man is looking to upgrade. And he has those options, especially if he has money, just like the really pretty girl is perhaps looking to upgrade constantly. I couldn't deal with that. I feel like, yeah, it's a tough dating world out there.
No, it sucks. I mean, look at me. I'm sitting by myself. But at the same time, I also
I
enjoy.
kind of see, I watched the Indian Matchmaker on Netflix, like the preview, and I was like, oh, you know, that kind of sounds appealing now. Like, if I was not married, I might just be like, okay, matchmaker, you figure it out for me, because clearly I got it all wrong.
Well, look, I think, and I'm not trying to defend my life here, but I think there is a beauty to being by yourself, and there's a beauty to having a family, right? There's so many pros and cons to both sides. But like I said, as you get older, I think that might shift, like what our needs might be different, especially when we're in our 20s. Like what we're looking for, like we're just totally different people than who we were when we were, 18, 19, 25. Even last year, I'm a different person.
Oh my gosh, yeah, completely. I want different things. I feel like as you get older, you just want someone you can grow old with that's like really freaking cool. Like someone that you could just be like chilling with, laughing with, be able to be like gypsy life with.
Does that exist? I mean, I know you're married, but see, as I get older, I'm like, I don't even know if that exists anymore. I don't know if I believe in that.
I think it does. I think maybe what is your age range that your dating pool? Because you might need to make sure,
23 to 25.
yeah, that's where you're doing it wrong. You might want to step it up to closer to your age, and I think you will find that woman.
So 28
If you're
30.
out there and you're listening and you're super cool and you're at solid seven and you like to laugh a lot and chill and
No,
be like,
laughing allowed. No laughing.
no laughing allowed.
No laughing. It's got to be morose.
Okay, there you go. Please write in to me and I'll vet you because I'm actually pretty protective over Tharun. He's quite the catch, ladies.
You're doing a horrible job. No, I meet girls all the time. It just doesn't spark anything anymore because I'm like, it's
You're
got to
meeting the
happen.
wrong girls.
But my friend's got this great joke, Josh Wade, and he's like basically dating is like going to Ross's. He's like, who's left? And people on the floor and stuff, which is kind of true. I mean, that's what the date's like, this vast wasteland of heartbroken singles and stuff. Like people are divorced with kids and we're like alcoholic, like fuck it, you know what? And they settle. People settle. I mean, this is a whole other conversation, but people settle in life.
I think so, but I'm going to say that some people who are divorced, they aren't washed up Ross Goods. I think there's some solid Nordstrom Rack designer stuff.
Where? You tell me where.
You need to be introduced through a friend. Maybe you have a friend who has a widowed best friend or something.
Are you talking about Shazi tried to introduce me to her friend who's widowed in Florida. She's like, you got to meet her. And I'm like,
You should meet her. You need to be open. That's the problem. You're not open to it. The
Not
second
open to it. That's
you shift
I'm
your
not
mind.
open to it. That's what it is. That's what you, I'm not open to it. That's what it is.
Yeah. So you need to shift your whole mindset. I had this conversation with my friend who's like, I keep meeting these jerks. She's super successful. Oh, maybe you need to meet her. She's super successful, educated, owns her own business. She's like dating these jerks all the time who ghost her. And I'm like, it's because you aren't open to it. And people feel that. And so you attract what you put out there. You're putting out there that you're not, that you have all these walls up and you're not serious.
Hey, since you brought it up, I always want to know this. Like, are pretty girls attracted to jerks? Because most guys are simps and they're like buying you free shit. And then, like, the jerk guy's like, you know what? I'm just gonna do my own thing and not text you back. Is that more attractive?
I think it depends on where the pretty girl is on her spiritual journey. Because if she has stuff that she's still dealing with from her childhood, then she's probably attracted to the jerk who isn't giving her the attention because she masks everything with, oh, you're so pretty, you're so pretty, you're so pretty. And then suddenly she meets a guy who's kind of like, well, you're pretty, but, and then she like is trying to win him over. But I think someone who's really further along on their spiritual journey and they have found an inner peace and their connection in the universe, then they aren't going to deal with a jerk ever. They're going to, no, there's, who's got time for that? Like, be a good person. What's wrong with you?
Wow, we're living in two different worlds, Shazia.
Why?
Because
What do you mean?
I don't know. I feel like if I'm too nice to a girl off the bat, if she's really pretty, by the way. First of all, I don't date models anymore. That's just, I don't know if I can even. I feel like I'm invisible sometimes. But when I was dating girls who were like super attractive, it was like I always felt like they were in a candy store. Like I knew every time they went out, guys were always hitting on them, and I'd see it right in front of my face. And I was like, this is just ridiculous. And
Darn, this is you dating people in Los Angeles and Miami. Let's have you come to Texas for a month. Let's do a dating extravaganza here. You
what's
will
gonna
meet
happen? What's gonna happen in
a
Texas?
nice Southern girl. Yeah, let's introduce you to a nice Southern girl who has a good spiritual foundation, who
Good spiritual foundation.
I think that as you get older right now, that is what you're, that is the key ingredient you're lacking in your dating pool. And it doesn't mean it has to be a specific religion. I'm just talking, generally speaking, spiritual.
I feel like LA does have that spirituality thing, right? I mean,
They, or is it just new agey Topanga? I saw a shaman, he gave me ayahuasca, and now my life changed, but I gave up all my Louis Vuittons to the Goodwill.
we're on the same page here.
Yeah, it's a different spiritual there. Trust me, I was in it.
Well, I'm still in it.
Me?
I am.
You're in the middle of it. You're in the thick of it.
Hey, this isn't about my dating problems. This is about Shazia's. How do we get Shazia back into the Playboy Mansion?
I don't want to go to the
I
Playboy Mansion.
know. I know you don't. I'm just saying. But
I'm so happy at being in this age range. You know, I got an audition last week and they were like looking for upscale women in their 50s. And I was like, I mean, I am not close to 50, but heck yeah, I'm gonna audition for that. Like, that makes me excited. I know that the talent pool is so much smaller too,
yeah.
so why not? But I'm owning this. I don't mind growing old in Hollywood, older and old eventually. I think it's a good thing.
Well, we're all enjoying the ride, Shazia. We get to bask in your beauty and acting talent, and now your conversation. So we appreciate you. Anything you want to plug or anything before we wrap up?
No, I actually think you should watch the Pamela Anderson documentary.
All right,
It's
everyone.
really good. It's very nostalgic for that era that I think we were both in Hollywood pursuing our dreams.
All right, everyone, check out Pamela Anderson's documentary, and we'll see you guys next time. Take care.